So he doesn't want us to just fret all the time about what we're going to eat or drink or wear. Huh? He wants us to seek first what? Now I want to ask you something. Can I do a little survey here today for my book I'm writing? Or may write someday. How many feel like that even in the church world, that folks may not be seeking God first in their life? I mean, compared to food, how many thinks that it almost looks like people aren't working as hard to stay right with God as they are to keep groceries on the table? Now, the malls are full. I mean, if you ever have to go there, you'll see they're full of people. It don't look like we are in a depression. We are, but it don't look like it. People spending money. But how many thinks by looking at the malls and looking at the church that people may be working harder to see what they're going to wear than... It's true. I mean, I don't know if you're voting with me or not, but it is true. Shelter. How many knows if people are looking for land and building a house and making sure that they get their interest, mortgage interest off their taxes, and they don't ever read their Bible? That's pretty sad, isn't it? Huh? Isn't it? Is that right or not? Well, now the Lord, now I said that to get into this sermon here. The Lord does have sympathy for our physical needs. And I'm glad of that. There's times in our lives that, you know, I mean, hey, you look at this miracle here. The Lord had been out preaching, Matthew 15. The Lord had been out preaching on the hillside, and he had a crowd gathered. Now, I don't know how many people were there. Let's get an estimate. It said there were 4,000 men. So, that's not including women and children. So how many would you say was out there listening to him preach? What would be your estimate? Now, if there's 4,000 men, now I don't know all of them were married. But I'd say there were women there that weren't married. You know, because the Lord, now here's my estimate. I'd say there were more women there than men. Because when you looked at the scriptures, his following were the women following him. I mean, at the cross, you look. John was there, but he was the only, the rest of them were ladies. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I mean, you know, I'd say there were 4,000 men, and then there, some of their wives, some of the women. I'd say at least as many. So there's 8,000, and then there were kids, and you know, and that was back before people would rather have a poodle dog as a kid. Did I say something wrong? Huh? You ever see them on them cars that says "kid on board"? I mean. Like, it's almost like they're saying, don't run into me, you'll hurt my kid. Well, I'm going to run into you if you got a kid or your grandmother in there. You know, But I seen one the other day, said a dog on board. You know, But I'd say this was a time when, you know, I had a lady ask me the other day. She said, I don't know if you do this or not, but said, and I'm a little embarrassed to ask you, but. Would you pray for my dog? I took it to the vet today, and he's got a lot of problems. I thought, yeah, we all have a lot of problems, including you. I didn't say that, but I thought that. I mean, I know we love our dogs, and I prayed for a dog one time. I run over a little boy's dog, and I prayed for it. I did, and God did raise it up. I mean, I don't know if he even cares about dogs, but it didn't die, and I was glad for that. But I'd say there's at least 10,000 people there, would you? Hey, I'm going to tell you, if there had been 10 people there, it would have been a great miracle. And you know, notice what he said. Now look, you've got to get this lesson. And I'm having a time of my life and get paid for this. job or what? Huh? Whoo, hallelujah. Well, let's get back to the preaching here. But it says, Jesus said, verse 32, I want you to notice these words. I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me 3 days. 3 day meeting. And have nothing to eat. That touched, Brother Zane, that touched the Lord. You know, do you think the Lord was touched to see you over there suffering? Yes. He was touched for you. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. And I've told you this before, and you may not even understand. I don't understand this. You know, I don't get upset at people that don't understand me, because I don't understand me half the time. But I was over there, and I'd had surgery. I didn't want to do that. But, you know, I didn't know if I was going to live if something didn't. I mean, if I'd have had the right faith, I could have been healed, maybe. But I wasn't. A year of struggling with gallbladder and stuff. Everybody said how simple it was. It ain't that simple. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, if somebody gouged you in the stomach with something and poked a hole in you, you fought back. And then hire somebody to poke 3 holes in you and take your insides out? This is a crazy world, I think. And I'm the craziest one in it. Huh? And I was just sitting there feeling sorry for myself. In the house, couldn't hardly get up and down the steps, couldn't eat nothing, felt bad, felt my faith seemed like just ashes. And I felt the Lord draw near me. And I don't know, I don't understand why he didn't heal me, but I felt such compassion from the Lord. And he said, I do know where you're at, and I feel for you. And I gave my stripes to keep people from suffering like this. I don't know, Brother Zane, why I didn't get a hold of that before they gored my insides out. But I just wept when I felt how much he loved me in compassion. Do you know, if we're going to have to receive from him knowing that he cares. We're not going to get anything from him if we don't believe he cares. Huh? Remember the disciples when the storm was on, the Lord was back there asleep in the ship, and they run up and said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Huh? You know, it's a little bit really naive of us to say, God, don't you see me? Huh? Y'all never said stuff like that? Huh? Now, God don't use lightning bolts on every dummy, because he hadn't me. Huh? There's times I said, Lord, don't you care? That's the craziest thing. He died for us. He does care. And here's what he told those disciples. He said, this multitude out here I'm preaching to, he said, I have compassion on them. Well, Lord, what is it? And he just healed their sick. But Brother Zane, there was something else. Oh, I feel like preaching this morning. I know y'all can tell. This might be one of them long ones. But he had compassion on them. And notice what touched him. These people are hungry. They've been out here for 3 days, haven't eaten a bite. Now, Sister Lois, what kind of meeting would we have if we put on the flyer, no food? 3 day meeting, homecoming, 3 days, no food. Y'all wouldn't come. That's right, no people. But here they had a 3 day meeting, and if I understand, they hadn't went home. And here's what the Lord was concerned about. Now, listen, he said, these people haven't ate a bite in 3 days. And I'm getting ready to send them home, and I'm concerned that they will faint. Because, you know, after 3 days, how many of y'all get faint after 3 hours? Now y'all, you know, I love to eat. Y'all know I do. I've been on a diet. It's a four-letter word, you know. And I lost 5 pounds last week. And Brother Sutherland's meeting was going on, and I feel obligated to go up there and fellowship with him. And guess what? You know the end of the story. I'm telling you what.
The devil uses good people sometimes.
You say, well, what do you mean by that? I was sitting in the parking lot, Brother Jerry, reading my paper, minding my own business, and this fella pulls in, Brother Dan Duane, slides into my car, rolls the windows down, hands out a fresh, hot pan of cinnamon rolls right out of the oven, said, my wife baked these for you special. Take them. And you know what I said? I said, thanks. I ate two of them before I could get on my knees. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, they were the best I ever ate in my life. I hadn't ate a sweet all week. I lost 5 pounds. Them two cinnamon rolls weighed 5 pounds, I'm telling you. I love to eat. I get hungry. But, you know, seriously talking, when you haven't ate for 3 days, you know, you get weak. And if you got a long, I remember when I was a young preacher, God deal with me about fasting. And I felt like, you know, I heard a preacher preach that your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. And this preacher said they fasted twice a week. And I thought, I had the idea I had to fast at least twice a week or I wasn't doing no better than a Pharisee. And I was trying to get closer to God and get an anointing and figure out how to preach. And man, I was carrying 12-inch cinder blocks. You know? Hell yeah. It was a tough go. These people had been out there probably on the hillside standing around listening to preaching. And 3 days, and the Lord figured these folks are hungry. And he had compassion on them. He said, because if they leave here in the shape they're in right now, they'll faint before they get home. Are you listening? Now, you're in here this morning. You know why I've been ranting and raving and sweating and going and trying? I'm burdened for you because you come here faint. And if you leave like you come, you're liable not to make it home. And I don't mean over the raven or garden creek. I'm talking about home. Now, the Lord's got compassion. He's not willing. I raised my little youngins, and I know I mention them a lot. That's been half of my illustrations have come from the things my kids have done. You know. But I just got one little kid home, Elvira. I'm just glad she's active. Amen. And she, you know, 13 years old. And you have them too. And the struggles of life are reaching. But I have a Savior, and she does, that'll have compassion on her. And that's how we're going to make it, is because he looks at us, Brother Jeremy, and when he looks at us, he cares about us. And so here's what he does. Listen, he said, I'm not going to leave them. And, of course, here's these disciples again. Boy, they remind us so much of us. Well, Lord, how in the world now? Now, I'm telling you, you know we're like this sometimes. The Lord says, I'm going to feed the whole bunch. 10,000 people? Yeah. Ooh. Old Mr. Red Lobster over here. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we have so little faith. And y'all say, well, boy, you've jumped on us today. Well, it's just in me, in my nature. But I'm just going to tell you. A lot of times God tells us what he's going to do, and we say, well, ain't no word about nothing around here, Lord. And he says, what do you have? I love it. Woo! Can y'all see all the sermons in this? What do you have? You say, I'm going to do it. What do you have? And I haven't read these scriptures, but you know it. What did it say? He said, they said, what was it? 7 loaves? Now say that. Read what it says. What did it say? 7 loaves. And what? A few little fishes. Sound like somebody describing my last catch. Huh? They didn't have to say it like that. A few little. What have you got? Just a few little sardines over here. They sure weren't charismatic, were they? We got a few little fishes. I'm going to ask you, is that going to slow the dinner down? Because they're little fish. I know that's what they. You know what I think these guys were trying to do? They were trying to convince the Lord this can't be done. 7 loaves of bread, probably just a little little old bitty loaf like you'd get at one of these steak houses, a little old bread, not enough to feed one man, you know, little seven loaves of bread and a few little fishes, a little bluegill or something. We gonna feed 10,000 people out of this. I'm going to tell you, you're sitting here this morning and you took inventory and you say, we ain't going to make it out of these little fish we've got. Hey, you're forgetting something. Whose hands are they in? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. You say, we can't make it with what we got. If you get it in the hands of the Lord, you can. Am I telling you right or not? Whew, boy, I wish I could preach and I wish you could help me. Hallelujah. Here we go. Listen to this. Says, how many loaves have you? They said seven and a few little bitty wheezy fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. Now, I'll tell you, that would have ended the meeting right there, Brother Mark, because I can tell people sit down and they'll stand up. If it had been the modern day and he'd have said sit down, he'll say make me. Huh? That's right. You know how the church world is. Buddy, I'll tell you what. That's why we're not having revival. Amen. It's because people don't want to do nothing more than what they want to do. But the Lord said, sit down. And you know what they did? When the Lord said, sit down, they sat down. Come on now. Come on. You've heard about the old boy that his daddy told him to chop wood, or his mom did, and he said, I ain't going to. And told dad when he got home, he said, when Dad got to his helm, he said, I go back there now. It's been 30 years. He said, I go home to eat with Mom, and I feel like chopping a little wood. Huh? I'm going to tell you something. When God gets through with you and says, sit down, you know what you'll do? I'll pull up a chair. I tell you, we're just too proud for our own good. We're too stubborn. We're too self-centered. We think we know it all, and we don't hardly know A, B, C, D. You say, well, brother, you sure are. I'm just telling you like it is, ain't he? But I'll tell you what, they sat down. When he said sit down, they sat down. And then they brought him to it. And I love this right here. I ain't got time to go up there and read it. I'm running against the clock today. But I'm going to tell you what they did. They brought them, and what did the Bible say they did to them? Are you reading right there? What? He gave thanks and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. And what did they do with it? They gave it to the multitude. That's what you're doing here today. How many disciples have we got here today? You know what a disciple is, don't you? That's a follower, a student of the Lord, follows and learns from the Lord. How many disciples we got here today? Huh? Brother, the Lord gave it into their hands. It's in our hands. And they gave it. I'm going to tell you, I know this. I really don't know how a preacher could ever get lifted up, because there's so much to lift him down. I don't know how he could ever get really proud. I'll tell you, if I preach, and it's not my miracle, I'm just handing what the Lord has handed to me. I can't take credit for it. Really, Brother Mark, I can't. The Bible does say we plant another water and God gives the increase. Hey, God ain't going to give King Mountain Church a revival if we're not going to give him the glory for it. Because God ain't going to do nothing he don't get glory for. You hear what I'm saying? If we're going to take the glory and we're going to build some big monument to Randy Webb, I don't like the thoughts of a monument. That sounds almost like a tomb. Huh? But you know, that's really what happens to movements. Old Vance Havner said it starts out, an organization usually starts out with a man, and it turns into a movement, then it turns into a machine, then it turns into a monument. And that's the end of it. I don't want that, do you? I'm going to tell you what, we are instrumental. Hey, we need a revival. We need to get the miracle. He blessed it. He broke the bread. He handed it to his disciples. And they kept dishing it out. And I'm going to tell you something. Amen. This gospel, God put it in our hands. And I know the world is worried about global warming. And I'm just going to tell you how I feel about it. I'm not real smart. I'm not a scientist. I'm not even a politician. But I don't think, I ain't worried about global warming. Huh? I'm not worried about it. God knows what's going on. He knew the end from the beginning. And you know, I believe in coal. Because there's ties in coal. Now you think I'm bad, don't you? I'm just being honest with you. Hey, people eat. They eat because they make their living. And somebody sitting in a big old fancy office somewhere and trembling over some mushroom on a ridge somewhere that's going to die if it gets too hot because somebody burned a little coal. Now, come on. And they're going to shut the coal burning. Am I off here? They're going to shut the coal burning electrical plants down so they can raise our electricity prices and cut out our jobs. So what? Now where's Gabriel? He does get the vote on the 18th. I'm just kidding. This is not a political rally. But I'm saying that don't make a lot of sense. But I'll tell you what does need to go on and what's going to go on. And it'll never run out. Our economy may go fall flat. It's on the way now. Amen. Europe is in a worse mess than we are. That's right. But I'll tell you what's going to keep going. And that's the gospel. Whatever's in the hand of God is going to be enough. And he hands us into our hands what he has blessed and break. And we hand it to this lost and dying world. Amen. The world don't intimidate me. Do they? You? They don't. They can boast and brag and laugh and act like they're having the time of their life. Hey, but I it's like that old guy, and you've heard it. You know, Brother Havis Crawford was preaching one time, and he said he eased down through town, down on the lower end, and there's an old beer joint down there. And he said this man come running out of the beer joint, and I believe he said another man was running behind him, and he was running to save his life. And said he ran into the car and said he jumped in his car and he wheeled out and the guy jumped up on the running board of the truck or whatever. And the guy was trying to get his window up and the other guy was bopping him in the side of the head, hanging on to his running board, bopping him in the head as he went down the road. And he said he could just imagine, Brother Charlie, the next day at work, them guys said, boy, I had a great time this weekend over to Old Blue Goose. And Brother Havis said, you know, they're not going to convince me of that. Huh? It's like them old boys, they went down there to that moonshine still there where I was raised. They had one in every holler. And they went down there and drained all of that out and got them about a half a pint of the old white stuff. Clear, powerful. And they brought in there, and I was standing in the circle, and they were passing that stuff around the circle, and I was just a little old boy. And there was an old one boy, he was the biggest and the toughest and the dumbest of us all. And he took that lid off there, and he gulped that old stuff down. And he went, and I was just a little boy. I probably wasn't 12 years old. And I watched the tears pour down his face. And he looked around and said, that's good. And, you know, I was just a little boy, just Kathy. And I was standing over here saying, it ain't good. And I just stepped out of the line. Huh? And that's the way the world is. They're drinking down their foolish living. And they're saying, that's good. I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a minute. Do you? I don't believe it. Hey, and I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're in this house and you're sinning and you think that's the happy way of living, you're the biggest fool that ever lived. There's going to be tears come out of your eyes after a while. I'm telling you, the Bible's right and you're wrong. Amen. All right, let's stand and get this preacher out of here. If he gets him a little chicken, he may calm down. I don't know. It may make him worse.